Avirayam karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, description of the Bhakti Yoga process. So from Anucheda 15, down, we'll read the Anucheda. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. And from the purport. As referred to above, such a brahmana has to become a Vaishnava, and that is where did I start? Oh, as referred above, okay. A Vaishnava, in fact, to be actually in the transcendental stage. Oh, okay. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a brahmana. In the material stage, even a brahmana is also a conditioned soul because although in the brahminical stage, the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized. Scientific knowledge of the Supreme Lord is lacking. One has to surpass the brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of Godhead. The science of the personality of God is the subject matter for study by the postgraduate students in the spiritual line. Foolish men or men with a poor fund of knowledge do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes, even up to the stage of a brahmana. Right? So even if one has the brahminical qualifications, that's not enough to understand Krishna. So therefore we can see it's a very great mistake to think that because I have been trained in academic study or in some field of study, and because I'm good at that, I'm intelligent, I'm clever, I'm something. I'm experienced, I'm older, therefore, based on that, I can understand Krishna. When in fact, that can't help you at all. I mean, nothing. It's not like, oh no, but it's you can engage it in Krishna's service, and then it becomes glorious. But to think that it itself is going to, that's like saying, I know how to stir a pot of rice, and so therefore, with that knowledge, I can know God. So the thing is it's not like that. It's due to pride because of the need for prestige. Then we take these levels. But as soon as prestige enters into the system, then we know that we're dealing with something less. Because we have to remember is that the prestige aspect is being the value and by which you judge and measure things. That's actually the standard of the Shudras. It's not a brahminical consideration at all. Brahminical is this is what you're supposed to do, so that's what you do. That's the thing. Kshatriyas also. But they do that, but it has to accomplish something. Vaishyas will also consider, but if it doesn't make profit, then they're not interested. Right? And so then gradually, then we come down, and then it's just, if it's prestigious, then it's done, and if it's not prestigious, it's not done. Does that make sense? It's like you see politicians, right? They think, oh, if we say this, then the people will like it. They say it and the people don't like it, and someone else says something different, and the people like it. The next day you'll see they'll be saying that thing that the people like. They couldn't care less. Whatever will make you famous. You sing this song, you get on the stage, you dance funny, you know, you do anything weird, you know, put a tattoo on your face, you know, like that, you know. And so, you know, whatever it is, and if that will make you famous, that's what you have to do. You know, a few gold teeth, you know, some chains, you know, like that. Yes, please.
I'm just thinking, so when you miss from the Buddhist, Swami Shaman, like, for example, saying that he cannot participate in major puja festivals, like he cannot be on stage in the puja. Mm-hmm. That's actually getting to exactly what you're...
Yeah, because it's prestigious. Because you'll see, as let's say, I noticed just from, you know, over years and years and years, you know, especially when you're doing pujari work and you're in the pujari room, so you're there doing all the things. I noticed that there is the tendency when people are fighting over something, you know, with the puja, it's only those things that it's obvious that you've done it. They fight over dressing the deity, but they're only dressing deities that you'll notice. No one's fighting over the shaligram or the backdrops, you know, or taking stuff out. No, it has to be those deities that you'll notice. It has to be an artik that will be noticed. It's Mangal artik, evening artik, you know, the festival artik. No one's fighting over 4 o'clock artik. No one. 8:30, generally not also if everybody's left the temple. And the 8:30 at night, absolutely no. Also singing, kirtan, oh no, you know, like this and that, all the big singers. They're not there for the 8:30 artik and singing. I always remember in Calcutta, the 8:30 artik, that's all the guys that would like to do some singing for Krishna, but absolutely have no confidence and generally no ability. And because no one else will come to that, let alone come to the artik, the only reason the pujari is there is because he's on the schedule, that it was up to him. You know, if everybody just chose what artik and you didn't know the schedule, no one would be doing that artik. And I notice you have all these guys there. It's a real circus. But it's all done with great kind of, you know, sincerity and devotion and all that. But I mean, the way they dance and sing and this and that, it's like it's a real show. So it's kind of like some entertainment before going to bed. You know, just something interesting. So I thought, yeah, okay. So that's the thing, is that this element of prestige, somebody wants to be the president because, you know, I'm Prabhupada's disciple. It's kind of like a Prabhupada's disciple means you can manage. You know, is that that's what it means? Or I'm older, I'm senior. So does that mean you can manage? I've seen so many times when you have a young guy come in. I remember, I think it was Audrey Darn, 3 months in the movement. He got first, second initiation. I think he may have been made the president. My problem. It's because, you know, they can do something. You know? So that's this idea that it's no... And age also is a Shudra thing. It means you respect age. Knowledge is respected. Influence is respected. Wealth is respected. You know, relations and family is respected. Age is respected, fame is respected. So all the opulences and age, all these things are respected. But one has to understand that the using age and prestige, that's Shudra. Just, it's right out of Manu. It's just, that's what it is. Because if you have a young Brahmin and an old Brahmin, the young Brahmin is more, you know, knows more of knowledge, like I think it was that you have in the Puranas the history of who came in. Oh, I can't remember. It's two stages. You have Markandeya. You know, he's famous. He's Chiranjeev, so he's been there forever. Parasara Muni. So this was, you know, back in previous age. Parasara Muni, there was a group of sages, you know, as there generally is in the Puranic, you know, stories. So he they were discussing, and Parasara Muni walked in, and he was only 9 years old. But as soon as he walked in, all the sages stood up, including Markandeya, and offered him the Vyasasana. So then Parasara said, I'm the youngest one here, and starting point especially to Markandeya, says, you're the senior most of anybody here, you know, other than basically like Brahma and Shiva, you know, who's got the seniority of him. But he says, no, in my, you know, so many lifetimes, I have not been as God conscious as you have been in your 9 years. So, Parasara sat and he spoke. And we saw it, and at some point he became the Vyasa. That doesn't mean he was Vyasa at the time. At some point then he took up the service, the post. So, yes, you do have to respect age, you do have this, but to say anything is prestigious, to breathe air is prestigious. You know, it's a, you know, to anything. It's a, you know, to chant Hare Krishna. It says that you have a turtle on the bottom of the ocean, the vast ocean. And on the top of the ocean, floating around, is a piece of driftwood. And in that driftwood, you know, you get a branch, and the branch falls out, and then they get a hole. And there's a hole. And, you know, how turtles can sit down on the bottom of the whatever it is for a long time, because they can... They don't have to breathe for like ridiculous amounts of time. And so then when they come up for air, it just happens to be on this huge ocean, anywhere where the turtle is on the, you know, bottom of the ocean, the wood on the top, when the turtle comes up, he pokes his head through that hole in that driftwood. That's how rare it is to actually meet a bona fide guru and take up. So now if that's not prestigious, I don't know what is. So that means to be engaged in anything. But then to judge on those things, and it's a matter of expediency and management, which is lower than brahminical, you know, or it's going to be, you know, people aren't going to like us, so we're not going to get money. But it's not based on knowledge and those things and brahminical. It's like, who cares? So yes, it's not a standard. It may be one of the standards. It is a measurement, and it may be used if the person is very proud and all that and thinks very much of himself. Then you may have to deal something with the pride because of that. So if there's has that pride, then you may deal with it to reduce the pride. And once the pride is adjusted, one goes back to the duties. His point is it their prescribed duties? So let's say you have someone with a Shudra mentality and behaving that, though they're initiated devotees, so technically they can worship the deity. But it's all about the prestige and this and that, and they're not worried so much of the deity, it's more about their, you know, being seen and always. You have that, sometimes you see that person wants to be right there, they're taking pictures, he's right there, and they have his hands up. And, you know, it's like you see the guys, they do nothing. They've done nothing for the whole thing, but then when you come to something that would be considered prestigious, let's say like pouring the honey or the ghee, you know, or the powders, you know, the sandalwood paste, oh, they're right there. But as soon as it's over, psh, they're gone. You know, they may not even be there at the Abhishek. I'm just talking what I've seen. So then you can see there's a prestige element there. So then that you might, okay, deal with until it's corrected. But if they're a pujari, they're Brahman, and that's their service, you have a right to do your service. And people can say, oh, it's not a right, it's a privilege. Quote me the shloka. Go ahead, knock me out from anywhere. That's the point. There isn't one. It simply follows the... What do you call it? What is that called? There's a name for it, the dialogue, the, you know, where it means that there's a particular way of thinking. That's the contemporary narrative. It just follows the narrative. It has zero to do with Krishna consciousness, zero to do with Shastra, zero to do with logic, prescribed duties, elevation of society, elevation of consciousness. It doesn't have anything to do with it. That's the problem with it. And that's why you see as devotees in general won't be satisfied. Because then you're using some strange, you know, it's like Orwellian. Where does it come from? The thought police make it up as they go along. So who trusts anybody? So that's the point. If there's a standard that you do this, there's, you know, this is wrong, you know, this is the correction, then you go back to your service, then people will say, okay, that's fair, you know, because you go back. When it's no, it's like that, because, you know, these things. But then human life is a prestige, so then, you know, everyone should, you know, walk around on hands and feet or something, legs, you know, like that, on all fours, you know, then it's okay, now he's, you know. You know, does that mean also, you know, they can't even get one of those collars with, you know, spikes on it like the bulldog has, because, you know, that would be prestigious. You know, so that's the thing, is where do you take it? The mind is unlimited on where it can go. So if you base it on simply the flavor of the mind, what's the regulation? The Vedic system is how to regulate the mind, how to regulate the senses, how to regulate the intelligence, how to regulate the consciousness so that it all brings it to Krishna. This is to break all traditions so that you can unregulate everything and then create your own regulation. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these can't be standards. They can't last, and they can't do any benefit for anyone. Even the people they say they're trying to benefit won't be benefited. You're just like that thing that you have the Vaishnav, and he can purify himself and the whole world. And the Brahmin, even though he's doing all the things, can't even purify himself or his family. And that's a practicing Brahmin. So let alone, you know, Shudra value systems and using that to judge. Okay, it's one thing, okay, you judge a Shudra by that. And then if you say, oh no, but we're beyond that. If we're beyond that, why would you use these techniques? Why would you be referring to Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra values and then say we're beyond? One or the other. You can't have your cake and eat it. Though I have actually seen that. We ate it, we still have some cake. Right? Yeah.
It's funny also that usually people justify this by saying, we do this to set an example.
Example for who?
Actually, what example they give is sugar, according to Shudra values. That's what they say, that's a statement.
That is, so it is, yeah, for Shudras, because Shudras want that, though Shudras can never be satisfied. So it's just like before, if you look at it, medieval. We talk about medieval, and it's always seen in a... I mean, unless you're talking about certain cultural things like knights and jousting and, you know, things like that. But otherwise, as far as the social system went, those things, burning witches at the stakes and going out with your torches and pitchforks and stuff like that, that was just to satisfy the Shudras. But were they ever satisfied? You know, I mean, 200 years of the, what do you call it? Inquisition, it didn't, was anybody satisfied? No. So that's the thing, is that then why would you do that? You say set an example. Since when does setting an example like that work? Set the example of what you're supposed to do. Let's see that. If there's a problem, then get up there and show how the puja should be done. Show how the preaching should be done. You know, that's inspiring and uplifts people. You know, show the positive. Example means the positive. The negative, since when does it work? Governments have gone down, revolutions have come up from this exact point of setting the example. The Tsar was setting the example when the people marched on the palace. They shot them. He was setting the example. What happened next? Right? Same with Louis XVI. You know, there's a whole riot there. They set example. He's gone. Any time the government sets the example, it's just you can start the clock on when they're going down. You know? Stalin, he set example. So now are they proud of what Stalin did? Even the Russians are. You know, so it's not a viable. It sounds good because I'm setting the example. I'm correcting the thing. No, you're not doing anything. You can be an instrument. We don't do anything. We're not the doers. So you can be an instrument, but you can't do. So that's why then you follow what Krishna says. I mean, so therefore, if you want to get in to set an example, look at Madhu. Okay, what are the things there? And that accordingly you do. Otherwise, you know, stick to what Prabhupada and the Acharyas and the examples that they gave. How did Prabhupada go? They say, oh, but we're not Prabhupada, so then even more you can't do something different. We say we're not supposed to be Prabhupada, you're supposed to follow in the footsteps. Whoever said, Prabhupada is chanting, you know, he did Harinam, so that means, oh, we're not Prabhupada, we don't do Harinam. Oh, we're not Prabhupada, we don't worship the deity. Oh, we're not Prabhupada, we don't take prasad. What is it? No. He set the example. That we won't follow. We'll set our own, we'll establish our own example. The Prabhupada, how he dealt, how he... And you see those that are personally trained by Prabhupada? They're different. Like that, simply because of attachment to Prabhupada. They do it in that way. Just because Prabhupada, they do it that way because Prabhupada did. Whether they like it or not, that's the way Prabhupada did. You know, and so then that brings up. But to set some new thing because that's what Capitol Hill does, you know. You know, so what is it? I think it was just in China. While it means right when they're doing their meeting, they have their Communist Party meeting and all that. The head guy, during the meeting, they escorted him out. He's removed them. You know, they could have done it before the meeting. They wait for the meeting, everyone's there, and make it all happen right there. So yes, that is the example of that particular thing. The authoritarian left. It's actually called that. They will say, no, we're the liberals. No, they're the authoritarian left. They do that. They want to set the agenda. They make things. And has it endeared anybody to them? No. So then, what do you want? So you follow the Acharyas. So that's the point here, is that the Brahminical standard, that's just the basic standard of that you regulate your life. Everything's in connection with Krishna. There's the cleanliness. It's based on Shastra. That's why you do things. That's the standard. And that's just the minimum for Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnavas is all about Krishna. It's all about Krishna. That's what Vaishnav means. You start from there. We were just discussing yesterday about the Vastu Shastra. Because generally you think, oh, Vastu is there, and you see it more connected with the astronomy. But it's actually a branch of Stapana Veda. And when you establish, means when you're starting the grid on the building, you start from the deity itself. The size of the deity, the kind of deity, then you make measurements off of that. The deity is this big, so therefore the deity room should be, the Garbhagriha should be this big. This one, that. The temple type should be this. The Garuda Stamba like this, the flag like that, this much, you know, this, and everything in the direction. You know, which way the deity faces, that's where everything goes. So you start from the deity and go out. And so that's what it is. So where Krishna sits in the yoga pit, then from there is that you have a set thing, where who stands where. You have Radha and Krishna, then you have Lalita Vishaya, like go around, you know, and around like this. And so then from that as it expands, then in the Avaranas, then you'll get the different who's in what direction. Because in the Avaranas, everybody has their direction. So that you know, you can look at the eight Avaranas. Okay, who's in the east in the first Avarana? Then who's in the east in the second? Then the third. That's the expansion of that potency. So who's in the east there? You go all the way down, and whoever's in the east, that's there, the expansion of that devotee. That's why if you worship Krishna, Radha, and Krishna, you don't have to worship the demigods because they're all coming anyway from the Astasaki and the coward boys and like that. You know, in fact, he sees that in the pastime when Krishna comes back in the evening in Gauduli, that because he's coming back, he's not hurting the cows, he's going back, the demigods take that opportunity to come and offer respect and worship Krishna in prayers. So the cowherd boys, you know, being trained properly by their moms, then they, you know, stay out of the way and don't laugh out loud and stuff like that. But once they leave, oh, they're slapping each other on the back. Wow, did you see the guy with four heads? You know, this, that. Hey, what about the guy with all the snakes all over? And they just goof on him. And it's not an offense. You know, once the kids, they're good. It's not an offense because those demigods are their expansion. You know? They're their expansion. You know, so. And also, there's, you know, there's some fun that way. It goes either way. Or you see like a Dvaitacharya's expansion of Nityananda Prabhu. But then he takes the senior role and he's chastising Nityananda and saying, you know, well, actually, you don't know who he is. Because you know, he's an avatar, he's transcendental. But, you know, is it Grihastha Brahman's not supposed to sit next to someone and take prasad who he doesn't know his background and all that. So they're goofing on these things. You know, so it's just all good, clean fun. So the point is this, the Brahminical aspect is just an expansion of the Vaishnava aspect. It's just normal. Krishna's the supreme pure and Vaishnavas are pure. So therefore, the Brahminical is the external form of what would be the natural culture of a Vaishnava. So, Foolish men or men with a poor fund of knowledge do not understand the Supreme Lord, and they interpret Krishna according to their respective whims, right? So that's where you get, you asked me before, it's where you get that, you know, so we'll set the example. It's just their respective whims. It says according to their respective whims, because one group will say it's this way, another group will say it's that way. The fact is, however, that one cannot understand the science of the personality of Godhead unless one is freed from the contamination of the material modes. So that comes by you actually making that conscious effort. Right? It's not going to come just because you say we're devotees. You know? Even up to the stage of a Brahmana. When a qualified Brahmana factually becomes a Vaishnava in the enlivened state of liberation, he can know what is actually the personality of Godhead. So that's why then you have the Purushacharya Vidhi in the Pancharatric system. Right? Is that, and in the Pancharatric system, part of it is becoming a Brahman. You need someone who they have Upanayanam, they've, you know, done their Shaligram, they've done the Yajnas, you know, because the Brahmins can do those things. They can't necessarily worship Radha Krishna in the Pancharatric temples, but in their home they can do, they've served prasad, they've cleaned, they've done, you know, there's five different things that are mentioned. And so by doing that, then they become purified. Then they become qualified actually for Pancharatric initiation.
Oh, so it's higher.
Yeah, Pancharatric is higher than Vedic. You have Vedic, Pancharatric, Bhagavad. So because of the power of Bhagavad, because we're chanting the holy name, that's why you can take Malechas and Yavanas and they can qualify for the Brahminical. And then they become, you know, fixed more nicely in the Pancharatric where Krishna is the center. Then it becomes the Bhagavata, the spontaneous. So in other words, they go to, does that make sense? You know, it's more external regulating the body, and then it becomes regulation based centered around Krishna, and then it becomes spontaneous around Krishna. Yes?
Also the Pancharatric initiation is called the third initiation.
Third, yes.
Third birth.
Yes.
First is your birth, and second is the Upanayanam.
Tweeja, I think probably calls it Tweeja.
Yes. Whether we read it already or we'll come across it.
Oh, we'll come across, okay. Does that make sense? So it's because you have in the Pancharatra means in the Vedic, you also have a Tweeja. That means when you've been initiated into the Shrauta Yajnas. You know, because as a Brahman, then you've been initiated, now you can learn, you know, to do the daily Nitya Homas and, you know, those ones that are the seasonal ones, the Chandrayan, and all these different ones that they do during the year. Purnamasya and all these different things that a smarter Brahmin would be doing. So that's by the second birth they qualify. But if they're going to do things like Rajasuya, Ashwamedha, these other bigger things, they have to actually go through another initiation, Tweeja. You know, so that doesn't function in this age. So actually we do the So it's because we are dvija, therefore then the dvija comes with it. Because otherwise you see amongst the Vaishnavas in the community before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if in their family line they didn't get Upanayana, when they got initiation, they didn't have Brahma Gayatri. You know, so there's all this jumping up and down about the, you know, women should have, not have, this, that, and all these kind of things like that. It's before, it's like, you know, oh, it's the thing against the women. Before, all the Vaishnavas, if they didn't get from their family tradition, get Upanayanam when they went to the Guru, they just got the Vaishnava Guru, Gauranga, and, you know, like these guys, they didn't get Brahma Gayatri. They didn't wear a thread. So if they, you know, and depending upon where it is, traditionally it's Brahmacharyas, Vaishyas would have gotten. But you see, in some areas of India, you're either a Brahmin or a Shudra. Even Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are counted as Shudras. It's just you're a Brahmin or you're not. So that, you see, it's gotten really extreme, that the Brahmins have really gotten out of hand. You know, but if they accept that, you know, Kshatriyas and things like that, but otherwise, so they might even get, but they're still considered Shudras. Okay, they got, because Shastra says, because that, but they're still socially Shudras. So that's what you get, and then you get farther than that, then it's a prestige. That's even worse than those guys, because at least they accept and know what Brahminical is.
Someone got
to do Upanayana
voice, they still have to get...
They have to get second initiation. That's why they can't worship in the temples. They can do backup, they could go in, take things out, and they can't touch the deities.
What can they do?
Like they said, they can do backup. Means like, you know, changing the backdrops, bringing paraphernalia in, taking it out, wiping the floors. They can't touch the deities.
Lighting the lamps. But in the school itself?
In the school, because it's on a home worship thing.
Okay.
But it's done on the Brahminical home worship. So then they learn, because the Brahmins can worship, Shaligram can do yajna and all that. So then they do that. And when it comes to the big ones, then you see is that, you know, then you have... that it should be, they have to be second initiated. Mm-hmm. So if you're being more strict, then it would also be when you get to these big, big things, it also only happen. The other ones can help, they can do the fire, they can do the wood, they can, you know, that help assist with the pujari stuff and stuff like that. So
It doesn't depend on the fact that Mayapur is a temple which is done. Any other temple, they won't be allowed.
No, it shouldn't be. Otherwise, and it gets right down. I remember one temple president heard this and thought, okay, it's a lower standard. Hey, well, we can initiate all the new bhaktas in Upanayana. And I said, no, they have to have Brahminical. That's the thing, it's lower because it requires conditioned qualities.
Yeah.
I mean, so Upanayana means they have to have that regulation and that ability to be able to, you know, that brahmachari to be able to do those things. So it's not just, you know, anybody can say, oh, you know, I give my kid. No. It's that if they don't have the standard. We've had kids that the father's given them Upanayana, but we don't let them, they have to chant their mantra, you know, three times a day, we'll see to that, but they don't get to go on the altar. Because they don't act like a, you know, someone who's, you know, taken shelter of the process.
So technically, father
Brahman can't be his son. Could, but the whole point is unless he's from that background, why would he be doing it? You know, it's like before, Prajumna, if he gave it to his son, Prajumna Prabhu's disciple who translated the, you know, books, if he gave, because I remember seeing, we were walking once and all that, and something came up and they asked, Prajumna was there, and it was like TKG, Bhavananda, you know, Jai Vitaka shut the down. You know, it was like all these big guys. And they're walking, you know, going up, I think, you know, down the road up to the big kitchen. And as they're going around, then something comes up about some technical point in the deity worship or festival or codicy or, you know, one of those kind of things that eternally, you know, is always never understood. And the question came up, and Prajumna turned to his son, who was 8, I think. And he listed off all the Shastra things about that. You know? And all the big swamis. And all, okay, impressive. That guy gets Upanayanam, what's the problem? But it was just that, oh, you know, we're just, you know, to engage them. And because if they don't chant, the Brahma Gayatri won't work if you don't have that regularity. It just doesn't work. It's not like the holy name, which is independent. You're not qualified, it doesn't matter. You know, papi tapi jato chilo, hardinamir udarilo. So, that's the thing, the holy name, they're taking it that everything's like that. But no, the Gayatri is, you don't hear them from authority, and you don't have the qualification. They won't work. You know, and not as a Gayatri, maybe, you know, a few names that are in there, you know, might give some benefit of chanting those. But then you're already chanting Hare Krishna. Why would you chant these? These are from the Hare Krishna mantra expanded the Kama Gayatri. From Kama Gayatri expanded the other Gayatris. And the last one to expand is the Brahma Gayatri. So why would it work if, you know, they shouldn't make these connections. So that's the point, is that traditionally you're careful about these things. So if you have a family tradition of that, then it's all right. When you chant the mantras, and you're supposed to say, like for the wedding, and you say, okay, you're identifying the son, because when you have the wedding, before when they do the matchmaking, you have to see that there's, so for seven generations, there's no connection in Gotra. Right? So then, you know, part of the wedding thing, you're saying, you know, this, you know, say the name of the person, and, you know, I say, great grandson of this one, grandson of this one, son of this one. You go back to the great grandfather. And you mention the names. So when you say that, instead of, you know, to, you know, this Bhattacharya and this, these, and that, you know, like that, it's just George, Harold, Sam. I did that once. That was the last time I used them. I did one that was called in for a wedding in Vrindavan. And then, you know, because I used to, you know, do that, because when you have local kids, then you have a little bit better names, you know. But then he says that, and it was like that, Sam, George, and Harold, and like that. And then I said, I'm not using this again. So then we just go, you know, this, you know, the disciple of, you know, this guru, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and like this. And then, you know, Hari Bal, that works. You know, it's glorious and all. Yeah, and Chuta Gotra, you know, because otherwise, what Gotra? I mean, it's like, you know, what, Kasyapa, because he's the, you know, the father of all the demons, you know, so I mean, if you want to go with that, that's probably as close as we're going to get, you know? You know?
Hiranyakashipu Gotra, we used to say.
He was?
Hiranyakashipu Gotra.
Yeah. Gotra, yes, yeah. Oh yeah, he's also Kasyapa. Yeah, so it's in the line, you know, like that. So the thing is we can't. How you say? I think that also the colloquial term is cherry picking. You just take exactly what you want. This, oh, but we're Vaishnavas, so we can do all this. But you just said we're Vaishnavas, we don't do that. This is part of Varnashram. Unless you accept Varnashram, then if you're practicing Varnashram, it's accepted and all that, then okay, these things should be established. You give guidelines. But if you're rejecting Varnashram, oh, we're Brahmins, we're above that, then you're above all this stuff also. You just wait for your... Okay. And the fun part is, unless you've gotten it by 16, means if you turn 16 and you don't have Upanayanam, you're unqualified for life to get it. Life means this lifetime you can't get it. Next lifetime, maybe. So it's only because of getting the Pancharatri, from chanting Hare Krishna, we're qualified for the Pancharatri mantras. The Pancharatri, from that, we're qualified for the Brahminical. That's why then the Brahma Gayatri is given with it. So that's the thing, is it has a higher material qualification, but the spiritual has no material qualification. So that, because the soul, so you can't mix the two. You can, but if you want, you know, and while you're eating, we'll, you know, put Karela in your paneer section, you know. So, you know, we're Vaishnavas, we're above the rules, you know. And we won't fry it, we'll just put it in and boil it. You know, and because we're health food, you know, conscious like that, we won't overcook it, so it'll have that little bit of bite to it, so it'll have this extra bitterness. Oh yeah, we'll make a salad with it. You know, it's just, the thing is they discriminate on everything except what is the Vedic tradition. That's cheating. Just straight up on cheating. Or total ignorance. You know, whatever. They don't know, then okay. But, as Prabhupada points out, you put your finger in the fire, it burns. It doesn't matter if you don't know or not.
There's a saying, I don't mind that you're trying to cheat, but I get angry that you think I'm going to believe.
That I accept it. Yeah, yeah. Because the thing is I would say, is most people, they don't know. Because they really think that they're doing, because it follows a very nice narrative that, therefore, whatever I feel and think means... I mean, minor term, I'm a devotee, right? Major term, devotee is transcendental, you know, and does everything connected to Krishna. Middle term, therefore, as a devotee, everything's connected to Krishna. So then conclusion, whatever I do, because I'm a devotee, is automatically Krishna conscious. But that's not actually proper logic.
Also the aspect of father giving initiation to son, as far as I understand, they do it only when there are no other Brahmins around.
Yes, yes.
So it's like in villages, there is only one Brahmin. He gives initiation to his son, it's okay. But if there are other, the community of Brahmins, then father never gives.
Yeah. Yes, no, that's a very good point. Very good point. Because also you could say, no, but it says in Satkriyasara that the father gives the son. But in Satkriyasara it also says that the husband is doing all the marriage rites. Everything he's doing. For himself. So what's the tradition? Have we ever heard of someone in the Puranic history or any of the Vedic? That they did their own wedding ceremony? Means that if it's Brahma, if it's Gandharva, of course they're doing it themselves. When Vishnu gets married, then he does the yajna.
You just get this in our country. You just get.
Yeah. So that's the point. That's why you have tradition.
Yeah.
Is that you always have a Brahmin do it. If there's no one else that is doing it like that, but the point is. You don't do these things yourself. That's why you have, you know, how you say it, support Brahminical culture, you know. Yes? It just depends upon what kind of standard you're doing. If you want to do a proper standard, then they can assist and do things like that, but they wouldn't actually do things. But you do see is that sometimes the kids have their own little deities and they do whatever they're doing, but you won't set a standard for them. They won't have the things they have to do, all the dressing, this, that. Generally, those kind of deities, already dressed, already everything, just whenever they actually do offer some incense or offer obeisances or this or that, and that's it. But you wouldn't set the standard, because unless they can, on a daily basis, regularly, day in, day out, do the Sodasha Upasara, the 16 items, then what would be the point? You know what I'm saying? There would have to be some simpler kind of worship.
For example, we are ill, can our children do, for example,
I mean, if it has to be, you could do, but I'm saying ideally it's not. But yes, then they can, why not? Or at least, you know, do something, change the water, do those things around, and, you know, turn off the lights and, you know, just tell, ask Krishna to go to sleep. You don't even need to touch the babies. You can also do it like that. It's understood that it's in between. So that's the thing, is that you have the standards and then we have our own approach to it. Because before it was only those who were second initiated actually had deities in the Pancharatric system. Until you're second initiated, you don't have deities. Only when you got second, then at that point you could take up deity worship. right? And so that's your Pancharatric standard. You know, the Prabhupada's here, his point was, is everybody worships at the temple. If you're a temple devotee or you're around the temple, why would you keep deities? Because you could go to the temple, right? So then, and then, so unless it was a devotee who they were a devotee who lived away from the temple. Like I remember at our temple, there was one devotee who lived quite some ways away. You know, he was working and all that. I think Vamanadeva. So he had Radha Krishna D. So they were second initiated. But when they brought him to there was an arrangement that they would come on Sunday and bring their deities and put them on the altar. Because we just had Panchatattva pictures. You know, because we didn't have deities. In those days, basically hardly any temples had deities. Los Angeles had deities, I think New York, San Francisco had Jagannath, but most didn't. They just had pictures. Because, and so, if you were first initiated, you could worship the pictures on the altar. You know, I mean, in your house, anybody could worship. But in the temple, it's like that. But as first initiated devotees, we couldn't worship Radha and Krishna. So Vamanadeva had to do, him and his wife, they would do all the puja. Unless there was a head pujari, of course, was second initiated. So he could do, or the president, or like that. So that was the standard before. And so that was the only person I knew of that had home deities at that time. But then something happened in the 90s where it just became the fad. You know, it was just the craze. And you go to Vrindavan, you buy deities. You know, everyone takes home and everyone worships and this and that. And, you know, it's all Bhav Sadhana or something like that. But Bhav Sadhana technically starts from when actually you're liberated and you've gone past Anishta, Ruchi, and Asakti, you've actually come to Bhava, then that's where Bhav Sadhana starts. Before that, to say is, oh, it's just the mood. It's like, what mood? What's the purpose? And then some would buy them because everybody else has them, so they don't want to be left out. I go to anyone else's house, they have this altar, so if they come to my house, I should have a fancy altar. Then it becomes prestige. Now it's gotten down to, as you talked before, the Shudra level. So it's become mixed. Does that make sense? So this is not understood, or you know, who knows deity worship? That's the thing. Who of the leading preachers knows actually technically deity worship? You know, hardly anyone. Shivaram Maharaj knows. You know, a few others, Govinda Maharaj knows. You know, a few know because they've done. They do the worship, they were pujaris. They have some understanding of the technical. But otherwise, and the tradition, because they've, you know, worshipped in India, they've gone to the temples, they've seen. So that's the kind of thing that's there. So therefore then, but it's not. So what's happened is it's become this, and so now everybody has deities, which is fine. But then understand it's a home worship and just keep it simple. You know, keep it as simple as what, in other words, keep it as simple as what you can maintain on a daily basis. You know, instead of 10 offerings a day, is that make the rule, you'll do some simple things for the deities, let's say like wake them up, put them to sleep, and then anything you cook, you'll offer. If you don't cook, you don't offer. But if you do cook, you'll offer. Because otherwise you say, oh, we'll do 3 offerings a day, then what do you do when you go out, or this, or you're sick. You just say what you can do, and do like that. Does that make sense? Then you have a simple thing that you can maintain. And if it's something that's been going on, you've been doing worship in the house, and the kids are helping and all that, then they continue with that. That's what you've been doing. So you don't change that. Does that make sense? But we're just talking about what is the tradition. So basically, you're dealing with the deities like they're 3D pictures. Does that make sense? Because we don't generally do more worship than we would for a picture. Does that make sense? Because picture is one of the 8 deities. It's a bona fide deity. So if you have a 3D picture, then, you know, you do that, and you do some whatever else you do. If you dress or you bathe, if you do these things on a regular basis, you do what you can. But I mean, tradition before would be if, let's say, the whoever is doing the puja is sick, the other would change the water, you know, maybe move the flowers that are on the altar, you know, turn on the light, off the light, offer obeisances, you know, do those kind of things like that. They wouldn't touch the deities. But since our standards is that it doesn't matter, then if that's just been going on and it's been going smoothly and they have the right attitude, then why adjust? Does that make sense? Something, but hopefully by that time, then he'll be better. Said, hopefully by that time, he'll be better. You know, but you know, you find something like that. So that's the thing is that taking up, it's a, but you just see what can you maintain. So if you can maintain twice a day, do that. That's nice. And if you happen to have some extra time that you cook, you offer it, but it's extra. It's like a festival. Like on a festival, you do a big, you know, puja, a big abhishek, a big. You don't do that on a daily. Does that make sense? So it's not an offense. In other words, you have your standard that you cook this many times for the deity, but let's say you have some guests or friends and you cook a third time or a fourth time, you offer. And the next day you go back to your two times. You don't have to worry. Yes?
Also, when you are discussing it, understood one more point as leadership from Brahmanical and Kshatriya perspective is such a serious thing that, you know, in order to maintain it, then the next generation having a properly trained is a must.
Yes.
So there's never a question that arises that how it will go, because you're always thinking about the lineage of it. And that's why it becomes so important. And sometimes it's seen as so rough without emotions, without this, but that's what it takes to be in that position.
Yeah, that's a very nice point. Very nice, because you generally don't see that. I mean, so I've seen this, you know, for the kids, is worrying about the, you know, the language, or can they get a job, or these kind of things like that. But it's rare you have a parent asking if they'll be able to, you know, continue the temple worship. Are they going, you know, how are the temples going on? Are we looking at second generation, or they're just hoping that, you know, there'll be another bunch of Bengalis that need a visa, and so they'll come, and so that you have 2 more years, you have, you know, some pujaris like that. So if every 2 years, you know, you have to sponsor a ticket and you know, write a letter to get a visa for a Bengali chap, then, you know, maybe it's not so difficult. You know, it's doable. Every year might be more difficult, but every 2 years is not a big deal. So if that's how the, you know, society thinks, but why not the, why wouldn't the next generation take over? You know, why wouldn't they do it?
You don't take the second generation
anymore. Second generation again. Yes, but then from there, then you get the third generation to go, and it'll continue. Yes.
I've noticed that, and I had to struggle as a leader in our native place, that somehow this tendency to export things, it's very prominent.
Export
means, is it export that when you bring
import. No, they export pujaris to America.
Yeah.
But import the American values.
Dollars.
Yeah, dollars also.
Yeah. So that import.
Fair trade.
And then, I was, for many years, I was trying to explain to the devotees that now it's time to invest in our own people. And it will bring the result, and that the future will be much more stable. That if we import all the time, because they wanted to import creatures, they wanted to import this, they wanted like everything, because some, well, life's still important. wives I couldn't deal. You
know, in Russia, maybe.
Russians, yeah, from Russia. Good. Russia and Ukraine, Ukrainian and Russian wives somehow are very...
But they're imported in other places.
Yeah, imported.
But not in Russia itself.
No.
Oh, yeah, right.
In Russia, nobody wants them.
Yeah, that's what they get. So in Russia, they get exported.
So, but then slowly they realized, although it was like a real struggle, but I tried to explain to the local managers that we have to train our own people and then investing in our own assets, and then in this way we'll be much more stable in the future, because depending on import is very bad thing.
Yeah.
And we know in USSR practically nothing was imported. Mm-hmm. Everything was made there, and the whole country, which was huge
at
that time, survived and people were relatively happy in their own mode of ignorance, but whatever it is.
Yeah.
So this concept of importing and thinking that import somehow or other is better in terms of knowledge and preaching, and we had our own quite good preachers, Keith and Nias, no, for festival we need this, this is useless. It's like, but then...
Do your own, if the others happen to come, then that's the
you
would take part.
Yeah, that's different, but going through so much effort, but also what I realized is that the mood was very, very disturbed. Because we had our own mood. And then they imported the preachers from Russia, and they brought a certain mood, which is, it's a northern mood. It's quite cold. And then, somehow or other, nobody was satisfied with that. So they imported from Ukraine, which was a little bit better.
Less north.
Yeah, more mellow. But still, it had its own funny things. So now we stick to the old crew.
Yeah. You can always, well, why there? Why not import from Morocco or something?
Morocco.
Language.
Oh yeah. You have to be Russian.
Oh, I see.
Was easier.
But in Bulgaria, they speak Russian.
No, Bulgarians actually would. I actually invited Pan Malamukuru to teach him our course, but I don't know if he. I gave him an offer. He was waiting for the English one.
My Russian is not so good.
Well, your Russian is much better than my Bulgarian. I can't speak Bulgarian at all. Anyways, it's just a strange idea and neophyte idea.
Yeah. You see, you can't get it as it's, how you say that it's based on the bodily, the nationalism.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not a point. People come in, that's there. But if you can do it yourself, why would you not do it? Okay. Further elucidation by Srila Prabhupada. Oh, so just as a general rule on when it comes to standards in home worship, it's always better to ask Janani Vas Prabhu.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has the most experience in, dealing in establishing home worship for devotees. Well, me, I know temple worship, and of temple worship, specifically big temple worship. So I'm not as accommodating when it comes to it. At least for me, it's people do what they want, but if they want, this is the standard. Well, he knows how to, the principle, bring it down to what everybody can do and be inspired. Does that make sense? So I'm not the one to ask about home standards.
What's the minimum standard?
It is mentioned that the 16 items, the most important then are the five. I think nice clothes, nice ornaments, flowers, chandan, and food. Those. The archa of all the pujas, the deity form, the archa form, prefers the bath. Right? Then, but of the, you know, and then of those, then the Ganda Pushpa means the flowers and the chandan will be the, even, you know, if you can't, you have less than is that. And but the most essential is devotion. So it has to start with the devotion. So it starts with devotion and goes out. So then it, yeah, you get somewhere. So, but otherwise, it's a simple worship, that the home worship that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave, from what I've seen, is the most simple and at the same time complete. Because otherwise, if you take the cross about what's given and then adjust it yourself, then you'll see that it's not necessarily balanced. But if you use his one, it has all the essential things in it. So you can't say it's not a complete full, no. It's a complete full system. But at the same time, it doesn't have anything extra. So it has things in it you, if you were cutting it down, you probably wouldn't think about keeping. But it has, you know, it's he would have things that you wouldn't think at the same time as he does all the... So it just how he does it is so perfect. He's thought about it, and it's something that can be done. And literally, it's a 20-minute worship. And it's complete. And Prabhupada always said, you know, that worship should be 20 minutes. So the technical thing, it should be 20 minutes worth. You know, dressing the deities, that takes longer, but the puja stuff should only be 20 minutes. So then it works nicely. It's maintainable. Otherwise, I remember Krishna Kshetra Prabhu then, when he did the original, I mean, I think still there, I don't know, they think they've redone it, but the Pancharatra Pradeep, so he gave three levels of worship. A simple worship, a medium worship, and an elaborate worship. And even there, I think the elaborate worship and the Shaligram worship were similar, but I think the Shaligram had more, and it was in the other volume. It's more of an appendix. But what I saw was that people either did simple or full. No one did the middle worship. Because it's either you don't have time, or you want to keep it simple, or you're into it, so you do all the technical. So then it's just a matter of do the full technical. You do the simple, do it Bhaktivinoda Thakur game. And then you'll see is that they match each other perfectly. There's nothing, whatever's in the main one would be in Bhaktivinoda. He's just dropped off of, you know, establishing your asana and, you know, things like that. You know, or we take, oh no, but you have to sit and this, that. No, he just get down. You worship Guru, Gauranga, Radha Krishna, you offer your prayers, worship the Vaishnavas. How you call it. You know, and you'll do all that with 69. So it's like, you know, the prayers also, the, you know, the fullest, I think, from Gotamiya Tantra, I think there's, I can't remember, they're quite big. The Dhyanam is very big. But he's picked just, I think, three verses out of it. You know, and then for prayers, Padya Panchakam, Vigyapti Panchaka, not other things. You know, you don't do the Visarjan. Visheshargya. You know, of all those things. You chant the syllables of the alphabet backwards and all those things. No, it's just all those technical things. You just down to your worship Guru, your worship Gauranga, meditation and worship Radha Krishna. You do the meditation, you do the worship, you do the prayers. He does that on all three. Just Radha Krishna's are a little bit more. One or two more items, the prayers are a little bit more. And that, but it's all 20 minutes, you're done. So that would be, from what I can see, a very pukka home standard. You know, nothing's left out. But otherwise, then you do what you can. You know? Does that make sense? Simplify Guru and Gauranga worship. you know, just, you know, Gandha Pushpa or something like that, and then do what he says for Radha Krishna. Then instead of 20 minutes, it'll be 12 minutes. But it'll still be pak. So, further elucidation by Srila Prabhupada. The process of bhakti yoga is not a concoction or speculation. It is a science. As stated in the present verse, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.20, quote, one gains scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, end quote. Vijnana means science. In mathematics, 2 plus 2 equals 4 is always true. You cannot make it equal 5 according to your whims. No. So that means when siblings are dividing up the Mahaprasad, then they have to stick to the actual eternal mathematical principles. They can't, by whim, work out.
No. But there is a chance when there are three siblings, then you can't equally divide one thing. So that's where the whim enters.
Well, I mean, you're starting off with this two, you use half and half. So if you have three, then there's half, and then the other half gets divided into two.
They'll work it out.
They get half from each half.
That's nice.
They get half from each half.
It becomes survival of the fittest.
Well, that can be easy. You divide it in half, and then you trade half of yours for half of theirs. So that way then no one got left out.
Or you engage the other two in conversation about what's the fair thing to do, and then you grab them on.
Well, that was I think it was the walrus and the carpenter. While they were having the conversation, and one of them was crying, but so he had a cloth up, you know, for the tears, but actually he was hiding his face while he was eating everything. So no one could see.
At the same time, it's an art.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he didn't quite practice, but he was very good at it, because then the obvious opinion is he was the nice guy, and the other person was more stern. But in actuality, he wasn't the nice guy.
I had a friend. She had two daughters, not identical twins, but twins. And she would always give them one, because it seemed that she was the leader, doing all the pranks and everything. But only after they turned 16, 18, she found out it was just the opposite. She didn't understand all those years.
Okay, the one who was good at the show, while the other one was just dutiful.
I was really smart.
Yeah, manipulative.
Yeah.
And the second one always got the sauce and everything.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's tough. Tough one. No, because mathematics is a science. Whether you're in America or India or England, you'll find that everyone accepts that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Similarly, you cannot imagine God according to your whims. Nowadays, many people say, quote, you can imagine your God and I can imagine my God. No. There's no question of imagining anything about God. As stated here, the scientific truth of God can be understood by a person who is mukta sangha, freed from material association. Such a person, being transcendental to the lower modes of nature, is jubilant and enlightened, prasanna manasaha. As long as you are under the jurisdiction of the modes of ignorance and passion, there's no question of jubilation or enlightenment. Therefore, you have to come to the platform of pure goodness. Right, so you use goodness as a springboard, you know, as a stepping stone. That by being situated there, you're regulated, so you're unaffected by passion and ignorance. Therefore, then you're more tuned into to Krishna consciousness. So it's not that mode of goodness will produce bhakti, but it's just a better platform than the platform of passion and ignorance. The best platform is Shuddhasattva, pure goodness. Because bhakti is then, you know, that aspect of everything connected to Krishna. Right? So, because that's just the platform. Then on the platform of Vishuddhasattva, then you're performing activities that the result is for pleasing Krishna. Right? So that would be bhakti and prema. So therefore, any religion without a scientific, philosophical understanding of God is simply sentiment. It is not religion. Because religion means what is the inherent nature. So just to have sentiment isn't the nature of the soul. It's not the religion of the soul. To know God, to know who you are, and to serve God based on that relationship, that's religion of the soul. Does that make sense? So in other words, they've come up with some rituals and other things that are in connection seemingly with God. But the point is unless your consciousness gets connected there, and then how would you know? Because you see, is then they'll have meetings and remove things and practices. So it's not exactly that it's based on their whim. You can say it's from God, but then, you know, this is God gave to Abraham. You know, so
I
says,
don't remember those words.
Okay. You know, so the whole point is that you have that, and God says, you know, you keep this sacred and all these different things like that. And so, if you're Abrahamic, you would be following that. And then the local custom and all that, then you're going to adjust according to your place. But you can't, the principles have to remain. So Prabhupada's pointing out is you need to know the science of God. Scientifically, how he's God, who we are as the soul, what is our relationship, what is the material world, what is the process to worship, what is the ultimate goal. When you know that science, then whatever your religious process, then it has potency. But otherwise, it'll be sentiment. So it'll be good today, but if something changes your sentiment, then you lose out. You know, like Dracula was a very religious person. But then when he went out on a campaign and he came back and his wife had died, he became an atheist. That's because his sentiment. If he had understood karma, this, that, birth, death, old age, disease, then he would feel sad. But, so that's the point, is you have to learn science. Yeah?
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Krishna.